colleagues, we're going to read the next three items together, 970, 71, and 72, please.
970, ratify a collective bargaining agreement between the city and Laborers Local 483, Portland City Laborers, relating to the terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the Portland City Laborers Bargaining Unit. 971, ratify a successor collective bargaining agreement between the city and Laborers Local 483, Recreation, relating to the terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the Recreation Bargaining Unit. And 472, ratify a successor collective bargaining agreement between the city and professional and technical employees, Local 17, relating to the terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the bargaining unit.
Colleagues, our bargaining team has worked hard over the past year with our labor units negotiating three successful collective bargaining agreements. They use the city values of collective bargaining to navigate through tough issues, and because of the collaborative efforts by both the city and the union, we were able to reach successful outcomes where each contract reflects the city values of collective bargaining. And I just want to briefly review what those values were. First of all, providing a cost-effective and excellent service to the public. Second, providing a comprehensive and competitive compensation package that attracts and retains excellent employees. Third, providing affordable health care for employees and their dependents, and a health care package that emphasizes wellness, prevention, and a shared responsibility between the city and our employees. Fourth, reducing barriers to recruitment, retention, and promotion of persons of color, women, and persons with disabilities. Fifth, creating opportunities for training and advancement for employees. And sixth, supporting the city's fiscal policies by targeting our labor dollars to achieve the greatest impact. Folks, I'll turn this over to Anna Kenwett, and then Anna, you can run this show in whatever order you would like to do.
All right. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Anna Kenwett, Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. Jarell Gaddis, our Labor Relations Manager, is here with me, as well as for the next two items, Farrell Richards and Tom Collette, who were the spokespeople for the city laborers contract and the recreation contract. However, before we get into the contract negotiations, we actually have two amendments. One impacts all three of the ordinances, and it is amending Section D in the Council Direct section. This amendment is put forth based on consultation that we had with the City Budget Office, that the statement, the Council directs the City Budget Office to work with the Bureau of Human Resources and any relevant bureau to determine the amount of additional resources to be added to Bureau current appropriation level targets in order to fund cost increases associated with this contract, was a more transparent and complete statement of what Council was authorizing with these contracts.
So that's the substitute D in each one of them?
Yes, that's substitute for each one of those. And we have a second amendment as well.
Let's do them in order.
Okay.
I'll second the substitute for 970, 971, and 972.
So Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Fish seconds the substitute amendment for 970, 971, and 972. This is an emergency ordinance, so if we wait 30 seconds, look at that. Perfect timing from Commissioner Udaly. We'll go ahead and keep that on the record. The next one is, please.
The second one is just Ordinance 970, which is the agreement between the city and Laborers Local 43, Portland City Laborers. This amendment is just to correct a typo, actually two that are under Section C in the Council Directs section. One is the original ordinance said the contract was from 2017 to 2020. It's actually 2021, which it states that elsewhere in the ordinance. And then second, we misstated the bargaining unit as recreation. It's actually Portland City Laborers in ordinance number 970.
Question. Legal counsel, those are obviously substantive amendments, so we'll take amendments, but do we need to have separate amendments for each of those revisions, or can we take a collective amendment on that?
I think you can take a vote on the collective amendment, and then you vote on the separate agreements.
Understood.
So I'll move the second. So on this one, Mayor, I move the amendment.
So Commissioner Fish moves the amendment with regard to Section C on 970. Commissioner Fritz seconds. We'll call the first one that we just put on the table Fritz 1. We'll call the second one that we just put on the table Fish 1. Very good. Continue. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So the Portland
City... May I make a suggestion?
Commissioner Fish.
Because these are non-controversial, why don't we do the housekeeping now and just adopt them?
Very good. So could we please call the roll on Fish 1?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Please call the roll on Fritz 1.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
So before the language just said that the city will pay it, this is very specific in saying how that gets calculated. I do want to explain to everybody at home and others who may not be aware that there is a cost in this fiscal year, and so the practice is that we will come in the spring budget monitoring process to request the funds that will pay for this year, and that will be worked out also with the City Budget Office. So that's how we do these things, and that's basically what this amendment says. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Great. Thank you. So first contract I want to address is the Portland City Laborers contract. So this is our first contract with Portland City Laborers. This is a bargaining unit group represented by Laborers Local 483. They elected to withdraw from DCTU last summer. We started bargaining in the fall. Because it was a new contract, so there was a lot of work to do, and I have to say, and I'm sure our labor partners will agree, while this wasn't an easy process, we have a very successful result because both parties, while representing their interests, I think, very well, also were able to collaborate and come to agreement on items that furthered the values, as you mentioned, Mayor Wheeler. This contract, the COLA and the other monetary factors in this are retroactive to July 1 because we reached a tentative agreement July 13th. So literally not quite 2 weeks after the contract expired. This is a four-year agreement. It also contains a 2% longevity pay for employees at the 10-year mark with their city employment, and we did that in recognition of one of the points that the union had made, as employees had not received an across-the-board wage increase for some time other than cost of living. So this was a cost-effective way for the city to recognize that and to also provide a monetary incentive for employees who otherwise with this group are topping out very early in their career in terms of the additional wages. We also agreed to a number of increases in specific classifications, again, to address some of the issues around recruitment and retention that we are experiencing those specific classifications. The other piece is an elimination of the rule of two, which is promotional language in the contract that had required if two or more of the members were qualified for recruitment, then one of those members had to be appointed. And although this was not an easy issue, the union did agree with us to eliminate this language, recognizing some of the barriers it posed for us. The city had an interest as well in some restrictive language in working out of class. And because of the complexity of those issues, and again, this is an example of laborers being willing to work with the city, the tentative agreement sets up a working group so that union and management, bureau management, can really sit down and look at, you know, where the issues really are with working out of class. We don't always get into that level of detail when we're at the bargaining table, so we fully supported that was the approach that we would take in order to see if we can address the issues. And it's a bargaining subject. We hope that we can address the issues in the work group, but we recognize we may not be able to. But again, we are confident that we will be able to make some progress. This agreement also implements the city's wellness incentive, which we think is hugely important, that our intended result is for employees to have a relationship with a treatment provider, and if they have the physical every other year, then they will retain the 5% premium share. Our goal is that because of that ongoing relationship, employees will share more information. We'll have a healthier workforce. Healthier workforce, besides having the obvious positive results that people will be at work, they'll be able to be engaged at work, it also keeps our rates down. And our corresponding goal with this wellness is that we can to retain the 5% employee premium share as long as it is as fiscally viable to the city, and we believe this program does accomplish that. You'll see that same agreement in all three of the contracts before you today, and assuming they're all ratified, then that will mean the city population, with the exception of firefighters and DC2 employees, will be under this new plan. I'd like to turn it over to Farrell.
Thank you, commissioners and mayor. I'd like to thank you for your stewardship of the bureaus individually and also for the city as a whole. I really appreciate your work. And I'd really like to thank Director Canwit and her entire staff for the work that they did. It was a long process. It's not always, everything doesn't always go great, but we've been committed to working on stuff. And some of the things she pointed out, in particular, the rule of two, that's a really big give as far as contract language, but I think that it demonstrates our members' willingness to work on the issue of diversity and to be partners in that. And so that's a very tangible thing that our members put forward to show that we want to be partners in that, and that's important to us as well. I want to also recognize our bargaining teams, which are comprised of Tom and myself, but also two people from each of the bureaus that worked on this team. So the folks who are out there doing the work were the people bargaining the contract, and that's a very important value for us as well. So when you've got folks from Bureau of Environmental Services, Wastewater Treatment, where in the best of times their work is invisible to us, but it certainly is a quality of life issue. When you've got folks in parks who, something as simple as when you go to your parks and the garbage cans are all cleaned out, or it's something as exciting as a 100-year anniversary of a rose test garden, because we've got horticulturalists, we've got park techs, we've got utility workers who do like the sweeping and cleaning up. We've got carpenters who do highly skilled work when something needs to be done on the Pittock Mansion. They're in there recreating that period work. So we've got all kind of folks. And then we've got folks at transportation. When you talk about the Vision Zero program, they're the ones who are paving the streets, putting in the markings for the vehicles and the bikes, and helping us all stay safer. So the Portland City Laborers Contract really sort of covers the whole city, the skeleton of the city, if you will. But really, I think with our people, the heart of the city as well. And the fact that some of this, the longevity in particular, recognizes people and says, you put your career taking care of the city of Portland, we're going to move a little closer to taking care of you and helping your quality of life. We recognize that. We appreciate that. We're, of course, going to always be pushing for more for our folks and to get them better lives, better benefits, better wages. But I feel like, we're working in a spirit of partnership, and I look forward to continuing that in the future.
I want to turn over to Jarrell to thank his team as well, but I did want to echo one thing that Farrell said. From the very beginning, this union has taken a very strong stance in terms of the city's efforts to diversify its workforce and to be an inclusive workforce, and we really appreciate that. I think it's great. So,
first off, I want to thank council and the mayor. Going through this process, I think it's very important for us to understand, without your support as council and mayor during executive sessions, providing us with guidance, our team, and I'm going to talk about our team in a few minutes, but collaboratively together, going down this process, it was a team effort. We all pitched in and did the things as necessary for us to accomplish the goal that we accomplished today. So I want to first start off with our chief spokesperson, John Uto. He has been very instrumental in negotiating this contract, establishing a relationship. Yes, negotiations can be tough, but however, we all have the same goal at the end, is making sure that we have a positive contract for our employees and for the citizens of the city of Portland. I want to acknowledge Maureen Weber as our second chair. She was very instrumental in keeping things on track, being very organized, and making sure that we accomplish the goal of a successful contract. With that said, we have our note taker, Marquise Fudge. He has been very instrumental in making sure that our notes are concise, complete. It's able for us to go back when there's errors. We figure things out. So collectively, from a labor relations standpoint, it's a positive result, and I want to acknowledge that.
Questions? All right. So do you want us to go on each one or vote separately? Okay. So Tom and Farrell are going to hang out for this one, too, because the second tentative agreement before you to ratify today is our agreement with the Recreation Bargaining Unit, also represented by Laborers Local 483. This has been a long process, not necessarily because of the bargaining, but, of course, part of the bargaining included representation of a number of previously unrepresented seasonal, non-represented seasonal employees. For this agreement, we actually signed a tentative agreement July 17th. Again, very close to the expiration date of the contract. And I think, again, was emblematic of the work that both sides were able to do. And this was very complicated because these members don't think they even came into the unit until we were partway through bargaining, right? March or something like that? Yeah, so a lot of work was done. So that was number one, is adding those members to the contract. We have some recruitment incentives in this contract as well. As I mentioned, the same city wellness incentive over as part of our insurance program. But I think most important, and this was most important to council as well, is moving the minimum wage. So for our seasonal recreation employees, this contract does establish a move to $15 an hour by 2020. But we will be still moving quicker than the Portland minimum wage will be. July 1, our minimum wage will be $12 an hour versus $11.25 for the Portland area minimum wage. We then move to $12.80 in year 2 versus $12 on the Portland area, $13.33 versus $12.50, and then $15 an hour versus what would be $13.25 an hour at that time. So this was, of course, a goal for everyone, and I think it's great we were able to accomplish that. There are also additional wage increases in the contract to address some compression issues from the rec coordinators and some other rec leaders.
Tom Collette, Laborers, Local 483. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I would start by highlighting what a large step forward this is going to be for our recreation workforce. This is a group of people that have been dealing with poverty wages for years and years. And this step forward that we see in this contract is huge. We obviously know Portland is a city that is not going to be getting any cheaper. So we know in the future we're going to have to continue to work on this issue. This isn't, a one and done by any means. But this is one of the biggest steps forward that I've seen in my time here at Laborers and with the city, and that needs to be recognized. Also want to recognize the great efforts of the recreation bargaining team. I believe we had 9 people on that team. Some of those people are low-wage workers, and so that means, spending time away from that second or third job that oftentimes people need in order to do the research and come to the table. And this team came to the table very well prepared. Folks did a lot of research looking at how their jobs looked in other municipalities and other states. We had very substantive discussions at the bargaining table because of the preparation of the workers. And ultimately, I think the success of this bargaining was because of the work of those workers on our team, and I just would like to highlight that, first before anything else. There's another component, too, that I think is really important in looking at this contract, which is pay equity. For our recreation coordinator ones and twos, those are groups that have a larger number of women and people of color in them than in, if you compare them against other city bureaus. And the level of education is high and the level of responsibility is high, but the level of pay for a long time has been below that of others. We've got adjustments in this contract to remedy that. And that's kind of the first time I've seen in a bargaining environment an opportunity to talk about pay equity and from the union standpoint, from the bargaining perspective, to be able to make those steps forward. I know we had a really important bill go through the Oregon House earlier this year, but it's also nice to see through collective bargaining we can also make those gains for our members. And that's something I would really like to highlight. Obviously, you know, just like with the low-wage work, you know, this is a great step forward. It doesn't fix the problem, but it's something we want to highlight, and we hope will continue. The city will continue to honor issues like that in collective bargaining in the future. So it's not, you know, it's not just about the marketplace, but it's also about pay equity. It's about fairness, about having that opportunity to talk about how city workers are paid in regards to their gender or race. And then, let's see, is there anything more we want to say? Oh, you know, I think just generally, and this extends to the PCL contract as well as REC, you know, the major issues we were talking about at the table were housing. They were cost of living. When we talk about those issues for Portlanders in general, it's also true of the city workforce. And we've seen, you know, in our time, people moving out of the city and having trouble maintaining their residences here. And just highlighting that issue, you know, is something we think that will continue in the future. We've made some great steps in both contracts in the direction of being able to help city workers afford to live in the city they're in. But I think that's an ongoing conversation and one that I want to highlight, because I think often when we think about housing, we don't think about the city's workforce as being affected by those factors, right? It tends to be something for the outside community. And we just want to make sure that our workers are considered when we're thinking about housing, when we're thinking about cost of living.
Jarrell?
I don't have nothing to say.
Contract.
Depends on the season.
Okay.
And so, yes. And because it is so variable, I don't want to give any numbers on the record because I don't want to be wrong.
Why didn't I learn that years ago? That is a very smart approach.
Well, we have about 3,000 on the payroll right now, and so I think the majority of them are now covered by union contracts.
It's going to be a good deal less than 3,000 because the instructors, mm-hmm. and there are a large number of instructors across the system, aren't being brought in. Mm-hmm. And that had to do kind of with the employment relationship and what that looked like. But if you can put a big asterisk over this, I think it's somewhere on the number of like 200 new workers on the really slim end to maybe 500 or 600 on the high end.
That's what I would have guessed. So thank you. Yes, yeah. And it's fantastic to know that we are on the way to $15 an hour. I very much want to compliment both of you, not only for the work that you've done with the city to get to this agreement, but for understanding the issues of equity and seniority and rewarding long-term workers as well. So thank you for your leadership. It's been noticed and appreciated.
Thank you. Very good. Gentlemen, you can stick around for a few minutes.
All right, thank you. And I do want to mention John Uto also is the chief spokesperson for this contract as well.
Very good.
And Jeannie Koomoto, who's one of our business partners, was second chair for that one. Well, this one, it's PT 17, our professional technical and employees union, formerly known as the City of Portland Professional Employees Association. We are going to be removing that from our lexicon.
Very good and welcome. And could I just make a request? Could you guys share the three big mics and pretend the small one doesn't exist? Because late in the night, I'm going to come in and take it. And get rid of it.
So I will go ahead and cover this contract. Amy Bowles and Rachel Whiteside are here representing the union.
Very good. Thank you.
So this contract, the tentative agreement, was signed August 3rd. You will note in the ordinance you saw at the time we filed this, it had not been ratified. But obviously, because it's before you today, the membership did ratify the contract. So. Again, given how soon we were able to reach agreement with this union, the COLA increases is retroactive to July 1. This is another four-year agreement, as were the other two, and also includes the wellness incentive as part of our health insurance article. I think there were, I would say, maybe three really major issues with this particular union. One is always professional development. That has always been a very key component for this group of employees, and the city did agree to increase the current allowance of $150,000 up to $225,000. Second, like non-represented employees, this group, we have not looked at, done a comprehensive classification compensation review for a long time, since the beginning of this century. And that makes it sound even longer, but that is an accurate statement. And what we agreed to in this contract is that we would do that study basically the last fiscal year 1920, and that we would bring the classification structure to council for adoption, but we agreed in terms of the compensation piece that would be bargained in the next contract. So, but this contract gets us going on the classification part, and that will be finished as part of this agreement. Second to last was increasing the planner series. Was very important to the union and to our bureaus in terms of the need to recruit and retain planners in when we're having as much construction as is going on. Issue around vacation accruals, vacation carryover. This was something that was very, very important to this bargaining group. I did tell them that it was not something that I was willing to negotiate changes to for one union, because all of our unions, all of our employees, with the exception of the BOAC employees and firefighters who are not on a 40-hour work group, they accrue vacation at the same rate. And so what we did agree to, and I really appreciated the PT-17 going in this direction, we agreed to establish a work group citywide to the extent we get participation, but we will do that work group, and we'll look at this issue separately and have a citywide recommendation. So with that, I want to turn it over to Amy, Rachel, both of you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Commissioners, and thank you, Mayor. It's my pleasure to be here this afternoon. For the record, my name is Amy Bowles, B-O-W-L-E-S, and I'm a union representative at PT Local 17. It's an honor to be here today addressing you all for a couple of different reasons, namely the contract, and that we do have a vote by our members to propose it to City Council for ratification. But also, I am phasing out of my representation at the City of Portland and wanted to take this very public opportunity to thank you all for the working relationship that we've had over the last 4 years, and Commissioner Udaly just over this last year. It's been an honor to work with all of you. And Rachel Whiteside will be taking my place, so she's also at the table today. So again, I just want to thank you all for your support and commitment to the employees and the members and the professional and technical employees, Local 17, and your commitment to the work that they do for the City of Portland. We are very thankful for the commitment to the Planner Series wage increase. As we have discussed, there was a significant disparity in the wages that the planners were receiving, and so we're thankful that the City Council and that our colleagues at Labor Relations and Human Resources did recognize that and are addressing the recruitment and retention issues by increasing those wages. In addition, we are also thankful for Council's and HR's continued commitment to the Professional Development Fund by increasing the amount, $75,000, that will allow even more of our members to be able to access that benefit. And it is something that over the last 4 years that our members have continually used to the point where it runs out actually before the end of the fiscal year. So at this point, more of our members will be able to access that and have those opportunities to further develop their professional opportunities and then provide back to the city the new expertise that they gain and what they learn from training. We also, as Anna mentioned, are looking forward to the classification compensation study because it has been a while since that's been completed. So we're thankful for City Council's financial commitment to that and look forward to that process and partnering with HR throughout that process. And also the vacation leave work group is something that we believe is a step in the right direction and look forward to further discussions on that and with HR through the work group and then also with City Council when we get to that stage of the process. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Rachel.
My name is Rachel Whiteside, and during the contract negotiations, I was a city employee of the Bureau of Development Services, and now, as Amy mentioned, I am moving on from the city, and I will be working for the union full-time. I wanted to take a quick moment to thank the council and thank the members of our bargaining team. We had an extremely dedicated and professional group of employees that represented all of our major bureaus, who came to the table weekly, who came and showed up with well-thought arguments, compelling examples from their work units, and did an amazing job of presenting to the city's team and answering thoroughly all the questions that the management team had. That included myself, Paul Cohn, who's in the audience from BTS, Jerry Verhoff from Parks, who's now retired, Sarah Spotts with the Water Bureau, Priscilla Part with the Bureau of Development Services, Andrew Newman took over for Jerry when she left, John Wilson with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, Jamie Wilde from Water was an alternate, stepped in at a moment's notice, and then also Elliot Levin was the PTE Local 17 Research Director and provided invaluable resources for our team as well. So I will be following up with HR and Commission on the the leave work group. I can't remember the exact name we came up with, but I look forward to following up. It was a primary concern of our members. We heard that both before bargaining got started and multiple times throughout bargaining. It's imperative for our members and all city employees to have an appropriate work-life balance. It's important for quality of life of city employees, so I look forward to working with HR on that.
Thank you. So last, because Jarrell probably won't toot his own horn, Jarrell Gaddis was also instrumental in bargaining this contract along with Patrick Ward, but he did a really wonderful job. So I want to thank him and the rest of the team for their work on this. So thank you.
Very good.
That is it for our presentation.
Great.
One comment,
Commissioner
Mayor.
You bet.
Amy, because this is your last presentation and because my office, like all my colleagues, have had the benefit on a regular basis of both you and Rachel coming in and giving us briefings and building the relationship. I understand you're going to be going back to Seattle now?
Yes, that's
full-time?
Correct. Yep.
Well, thank you for the good work that you did and the spirit of partnership that you fostered in those conversations, and we're delighted that that Rachel is following your footsteps.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Fritz?
Well, I wanted to extend my thanks, Ms. Bowles, for all of your work over the years. I've learned from you, and I know you'll do a great job in Seattle. And Ms. Whiteside, I was initially thinking this is terrible for the Bureau of Environmental Development Services. Wonderful, of course, congratulations. And then I thought, oh, I'll get to meet with you again.
You will.
I'm really looking forward to that. That's great, guys. I'm sure you'll be as good in your new capacity as you have been for Development Services. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Very good. Is there any public testimony, Carla?
No one signed up.
Very good. So why don't we do this? Could we please call the roll on 970? Are there any further questions, colleagues, I should have asked? Seeing none, please call the roll on 970.
You Daly.
Well, thanks for everyone's hard work. This was one of my steepest learning curves going through this process with all of you, and I feel so much better prepared for the next round. Thanks for the presentation, and I'm just really thrilled with the outcome that we're doing better by a lot of our city employees.
Fritz.
Thanks to Labor's 483. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you, and thanks to our team too. Thanks to my colleagues on the council recognizing that we do need to step up and help some of the lowest paid city workers and reward them. I'm especially excited about the longevity pay. I think all of our city positions should have longevity pay so that people don't have to change position or go into management in order to be able to do an excellent job for their community as long as they are employed by us. You asked if there are any other questions. I think the question is how we're going to pay for all this, and that will be a topic for next year's budget. This one is only $289,000 of general fund, but almost 1.5 million for a citywide, so by year four. So it's the right thing to do. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Director Kenwit, thank you for bringing this home. And Jarrell and your team, thank you. Good work. To Tom and Farrell, I think there is, it's fair to say that when the decision was made to pull out of the DC2U, there was some uncertainty about what actually that would mean and how that would impact bargaining. And I think what you have demonstrated in through that course of action is that we have established a very strong partnership with the laborers going forward, and this agreement reflects that. And as one of or both of you said, we get to bargain hard at the table, but ultimately we find the middle ground, the common ground. And we deeply appreciate the efforts you've made to do that, and I'm very pleased today to support this contract. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I want to thank everybody as well who is involved in this. I appreciate the fact that we started out with the values-based approach to these negotiations, particularly providing cost-effective and excellent services to the public that we all collectively serve, and making sure that we are able to attract, retain, and grow a world-class workforce. And I believe that we have done that through this contract. I want to thank the labor negotiation teams. I think everybody was tough, but very reasonable and pragmatic in their approach. And I appreciated the effort to problem solve, to give us real life examples of what was going on in the units and understanding the needs of our employees and listening with an open ear in terms of the potential constraints that our labor management team had as well. So I thought it was a very productive set of negotiations, and I agree that this lays a foundation for a strong partnership going forward. I'm always reminded of the fact that at the end of these discussions, we're all on the same team here, and our objectives are all the same, and we stated them on the first day in the values, and we agreed to those values, and having done so, it was really a question of how do we get to yes. And so I found this a highly important and energizing process. I learned a lot along the way about not just our labor units, but about our city, our services, the dedication of our employees. And I look forward to continuing this as we go in the years ahead. Aye. The substitute ordinance is adopted. The collective bargaining agreement is ratified. Next item, please. Call the roll.
You Daly?
Aye.
Fritz.
So this one is $454,000 this year, the estimated cost. So as I mentioned, when we voted on the amendment, we will be asking the city to pay that in the spring budget adjustment. All of the cost of this is in the general fund, $1.2 million by year four. And as the mayor's just said, it's absolutely the right thing to do. We're finally getting where we required all our outside contractors to pay $15 an hour, and now we're finally being able to do that. We've also, in the process, established hundreds of good union jobs. I remember when I was in charge of development services, I presided over hundreds of new union jobs as we were recovering from the recession. And now in parks, that with your partnership, with all of your partnership, we've been able to do this. And as somebody who's still a dues-paying member of the Oregon Nurses Association, I think it's particularly appropriate that it's the week before Labor Day when we're approving this particular contract. Thank you so much. Aye.
Fish.
All my thanks from item 970, but one additional comment. Commissioner Fritz has been the champion on this council for raising the terms and conditions of recreation employees, and she has been constant and vigilant as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau in our executive sessions, in her one-on-ones with her colleagues and at council. And so, Commissioner Fritz, thank you for the vital role that you played to bring this day forward.
Aye. Wheeler.
Aye. The substitute ordinance is adopted. The successor collective bargaining agreement is ratified. Next item.
You Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Again, thank you to both of you and to the whole team. Aye.
Fish.
Well, you'll be missed, Amy, but now when we visit in Seattle, you can take us out to lunch, I guess. won't have any conflicts. Nice work, team. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The substitute ordinance is adopted and the successor collective bargaining agreement is ratified. We are adjourned until I understand item 973 on tomorrow's agenda has been pulled. Is that correct?
Was withdrawn.
Okay, so the time certain at 2 p.m. tomorrow, August 31st, has been withdrawn. So the City Council will reconvene tomorrow, August 31st, at 3 p.m.
We are. And Mayor, adjourned. My understanding is that'll be about 10 minutes.
I hope that'd be great. Yeah, it should be. Good.